Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser, and today we're talking to Catherine Krupa, a longtime friend and a peak performance colleague. Catherine earned her Bachelor of Science in Nutritional Sciences and Master of Science in Nutrition from Texas A&M University. She is a registered licensed dietitian and wellness coach, and she's also board certified in sports nutrition and a nutrition consultant for Green Plate Foods. She specializes in weight management, sports nutrition, diabetes, gastrointestinal disorders, endometriosis, easy for me to say, heart disease, and pediatric nutrition. She served as a director of nutrition for U.S. Diving for 11 years, and Catherine was a member of the Texas A&M varsity diving team and is currently an active member of the running community in Houston. She's competed in 6 triathlons, including 2 half Ironmans, 16 marathons, 3 ultramarathons, and is a 12-time Boston Marathon qualifier. She also is a sub-3-hour marathoner. Catherine provides nutrition tips for Houston's KSBJ FM 89.3 and is and for K-Love Radio, which is a nationally syndicated radio show as well. She's also been the dietitian for the 2004, 2008, and 2012 U.S. Olympic diving teams. Catherine, welcome to Monday Morning Moments. This is such a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Good. Well, this has been a long time coming. We've tried to work out our schedules, but I'm really excited for y'all to hear from Catherine today. So tell us about how you got into nutrition and serving as a dietitian.
Well, it is an interesting story. So I come from a very athletic family. My dad was a state-ranked tennis player for many, many years. My mom, a great tennis player and runner. And so my sister and I were brought up in an athletic family, always doing many different kinds of sports. I finally settled on gymnastics because my parents didn't know anything about it. and so I was a competitive gymnast through my high school years. And our coach from time to time would talk to us about, you know, you should eat these things before a competition or don't eat these things. He actually didn't say a lot, but the things that he said were, you know, impactful and interesting to me. And I started gymnastics a little later than, you know, most girls do. So I was a little behind. And so it was interesting to me to think of other things I could do to help, you know, bring me up to that level, get me to that peak performance level. So I always listened to what he had to say, and I did it. And I was hoping to go to college and get a gymnastics scholarship, and I got injured my senior year. So I ended up going to Texas A&M University, which I do not regret at all. And I had no idea what I wanted to do as far as a major, but nutrition was an option. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting, so I'll do that. Interestingly, I had no idea what a dietitian did. I actually, looking back on it, I don't even think I knew what a dietitian was. I had no idea what you did with that degree, but I knew it was interesting to me, and I knew I loved athletics. And so I kind of let that flourish during my college years. And then when I graduated from A&M in my internship, I started looking for a job where not only could I work in the nutrition field, but really work with, you know, athletes are my passion. It's a smaller portion of my business, but I really wanted to work on kind of the wellness and athlete side of thing versus in a hospital.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you clearly have done that. And your client base is very diverse.
It is.
You know, you work with everyday people. You work with elite athletes. Now you've worked with me on my marathon fueling and hydration as well. So what are some common themes that you see between elite athletes and maybe just everyday people who are coming in? Or is there common themes that you see as far as people who are looking for nutrition and hydration, fueling, wellness type advice?
No, I think that's a great question. And it was interesting for me to kind of think about that, because there are definitely common themes. And, you know, I look at every one of my clients the same but different. You know, if you're an athlete or you're a weekend warrior or you're coming in here for diabetes, you know, there are some themes that run across the board. And, you know, One is that everyone who comes in here has a goal. And their goal is to eat healthier to fuel their body. And it could be fueling their body for an athletic event, or it could be fueling their body for their day job, or it could be to fuel their body better to help with high blood pressure or diabetes or something along those lines, or to fuel their body better to prevent disease that they may be predisposed to or that they, you know, just don't want to get. So I think that is one of the common themes, is that, you know, my clientele is motivated to make change, and I'm kind of the facilitator to help them make that change. So that's one. The other thing that's interesting is the majority of the people that come into my office have a pretty decent knowledge of nutrition, and they like to tell me that too. but that's good. I mean, you know, I don't get a ton of people who are, you know, drinking liters of soda and that sort of thing. I mean, all of us have our downfalls, but they usually know the right from the wrong, but they need a plan. And just like we all need, you know, plans in different areas of our lives, or accountability in different areas of their lives, that's what I help with. So we come up with a plan that is specific to their goal, but that also fits into their lifestyle. And because if it doesn't fit into their lifestyle, they're not going to do it long term. We're not a quick fix place. We're looking for something that they can do, you know, for the duration, you know, for their whole life, right, if possible. We kind of put together that roadmap for them. You know, they have the knowledge. It's now putting it together and how do we make this work in your life? And then the other theme is, particularly here in Houston, we live really, really fast-paced lives. And nutrition is something that many times kind of falls down on the priority list. And it's not like we're in New York and we're walking down the street and there's a market and you can grab a piece of fruit. It's just not like that in Houston. And typically the free food or the food that's available to us easily is not healthy food. And so planning is one of the biggest things I do with my clients, is how do we plan your day and the things that you need to do to have healthy food around you, to be surrounded by that. So figuring out that plan, because if you kind of fly by the seat of your pants, it usually doesn't work out as well. Right. It just depends on your discipline. And then, you know, they have to plan and spend more time at the beginning, but after they do it for a while, it gets to be where it's autopilot. I mean, for me, planning my food, I think you're a little bit the same way. I see your breakfast on Facebook. you know, you get into a routine and it's right. Just what you do. And it's like brushing your teeth. And so then it's just, you know, autopilot, and it doesn't take that much effort, but getting them to that place is something else I help them do.
Yeah. And I think that's unique about your brand, the plan, the coaching that you give mm-hmm. along with that and fitting into your lifestyle. I've done workshops with Catherine. I've also seen her give me advice and give others advice. And some people think that she's going to make them eat baby carrots
their
whole life. She's told that joke before, but she fits the plan into your lifestyle. And I think that's one of the unique things about you and your team.
It's the only way that it'll work. And it makes my job fun, because then I get to be creative with every person that comes in here has a different plan, because Everybody's different.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Well, you're an elite athlete yourself. I read off all the things that you've been involved with, and, you know, being a sub-3-hour marathoner, being a triathlete, and still very competitive. What have you learned about yourself? So you're constantly giving advice and coaching to others.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned about yourself from a fueling, hydration, and nutrition standpoint to compete at a high level and have peak performance, not only just going through your days, but also in your training?
Well, I think that's a good question as well. And you've taught me a lot on peak performance. And I've been running after I moved from gymnastics to diving. Then I've kind of moved to running. And I've ran all my life because my mom ran. But, you know, competitively for 20 years. So I've been doing this for a while. And, you know, certainly just the experience of, you know, running different races, you kind of learn something different in every race. But I think there are a few key things for me that I have learned. I know from a nutrition standpoint what works for me. I set that in a long time ago, and it's just good autopilot. I know that I have a hydration and nutrition plan just like I would make anyone else. I tend to pay less attention to myself than I do my clients, so I have to be careful of that and make sure that, you know, I'm zoned into my race. But that's pretty much on autopilot. One of the big things that I've learned about me is that more is not better for me. I'm a little bit of a type A personality. So when someone gives me a schedule and I'm supposed to follow it, it's hard when it's not tailored to me, or if it says that I have a workout on this day and maybe I'm not feeling so great. It's hard for me not to do it because I just feel like I should. And so one of the things I've really say over the last 7 to 8 years that have really, really helped me is to pay attention to my body. And I don't have to follow this rigid schedule. A lot of my friends who train for the same race as I do will run 60 plus miles a week, and I can get away with 40, and it's okay. Right. And if I do more, I break down. So I had to learn that, and I had to accept that, because that's not always easy, that I don't have to do as much to perform as well. I use a lot of imagery in my training, in my goals. I have my specific goal to reach this performance level, and so I spend time doing that. That's very helpful for me, so that I feel like I'm very comfortable when I get to that spot. I know that's something that you do quite a bit. The other thing that I have learned about me is that I am going to do the best in a race if I'm relaxed. The more tense I am about meeting a goal, I tend not to do so well. So when it comes to running and the longer races, one of the things that really helps me is they have photographers out on the course. And every time I see a camera, I make myself smile. And I can kind of tell if I have to force it, I'm probably working a little too hard and I'm probably not having as much fun. And if it really pops up very easily, then I'm in a good place. But I do this for fun, and I want it to be fun. And I think you can still excel at a high level and work really hard, but have fun.
Right.
And then the last piece to my peak performance that, it just wouldn't happen if this part wasn't there is God is a part of every single aspect of my training, my racing, my prepping, all of the imagery, all of that. He is a core part of that. And if it weren't for that, there are many low moments that I wouldn't have gotten through if he wasn't walking alongside me, Absolutely. Every step of the way.
Yeah, no, I understand. I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that people have become more cognizant of rest and recovery and, just the nutritional aspects of things as well. And then also spiritual aspects and faith being a foundation of that. So
yeah,
it's really
absolutely
important. So a couple more questions, maybe some common mistakes that you see with maybe an everyday person and contrasting that with an elite athlete as well.
Sure.
Because probably, I know from an athlete perspective, maybe we think we have it figured out. And even from just somebody who's, going through the day, you say people come in and they know nutrition or they know some certain things. But what are some common mistakes that we just make?
Well, it's interesting because those, they do kind of overlap. And like I said, people, do have a general knowledge of nutrition when they come in. So the first one I would say, because this is where I always start, is hydration. Here in Houston, we live in a hot, humid climate the majority of the time. But people are drinking coffee, tea, Diet Coke, wine, all of these things that are dehydrating and not drinking enough water on a daily basis. So that's it's usually the first thing I start out with is I give them a water goal, which is... in general, I take their body weight and divide it in half and have them drink that many ounces of water. Everybody freaks out about it. They're like, oh my gosh, that's so much water. I'm going to be going to the restroom all the time. And I said, now this is your long-term goal. Let's work up to that. Let's start where you are now. And I tell people with water, just like I do with food, you have to have a plan for it. I mean, I bring all of my water with me for the day because if I finish one water bottle, for whatever reason, I know me, I don't get up and go fill it up. So I just can pull out the next one and go from there. Or you need to drink this much by this time. And so we'll plan that out. And you do have to go to the restroom a little more at the beginning because your body's not used to it. And then it gets better. But water is involved in every cell in your body. And so every cell in your body works better if you're drinking water. And that's from your energy level to your hair, your nails, how you're going to perform. I mean, it is well documented that if you start a race – dehydrated, and dehydrated mean just even feeling a little thirsty, you will not perform your best.
Yeah.
It's helpful for my everyday people with different goals, and then certainly for my athletes. My athletes will typically do a good job on Friday. The day before their long run, but then that's it.
Yeah.
And then they don't do a great job of rehydrating either.
Yeah.
Not eating breakfast or not eating enough breakfast is another common, and actually my next two kind of go together. So what I see, and I see it in athletes and everyday people, is they start off the day light and then they end the day heavy. And so they fuel themselves very lightly during the day and then they load up at night. And there's many reasons for that. Sometimes people aren't hungry in the morning, we're in a hurry in the morning. During the day, maybe food isn't as much available. And then you get home at night, food's more available. You're having a bigger dinner with your family, potentially. Some people tell me they eat more because they're stressed. Some people tell me they eat more because they're relaxed. So there are lots of different things. And it's a lot part of our American culture that we have this big dinner. And we really want to, food is fuel. And we want to fuel ourselves during the day when we're active. We don't need to fuel up before we go to bed.
Right.
So really switching that kind of pyramid and making it a little more even, where we start our day with a good solid breakfast. It doesn't need to take a lot of time. It can be, like your breakfast is really quick and easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be scrambling eggs and that kind of thing. It certainly can be if you have the time. But getting that good solid breakfast in, fueling yourself through the day, making sure you're eating every 3 to 4 hours with snacks and having a good breakfast so that dinner is just topping off your tank for the day.
Right.
It's enough to get you through the night.
Right.
Loading up on vegetables at night and that sort of thing. Those are the common things. And I see it in my athletes, and they are drained during the day, and then they're ravenous by the time they get home because they didn't fuel themselves well enough during the day. And then they tend to overeat and then start next morning not hungry, and you kind of go through this cycle. So
right.
I see it in my athletes. Very, very common. High school athletes, absolutely. That's they're my worst, but they're very good at switching that once I make a plan for them.
They'll do what you.
Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, they're very good at executing.
Yeah.
But then just regular old people do the same thing. We tend to like that big dinner or snack at nighttime, and we've really got to work on reversing that so you're fueled during the day.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of people imagine that if they cut out breakfast and that. They're on the weight loss goal.
They've saved a few calories.
The worst thing they could do.
It truly is because you end up either snacking or eating more in the afternoon at dinner or in the evening.
Right.
And then the other thing is, from an athlete standpoint, there's a great study out there. It was done on Olympic caliber athletes, and they were eating the exact amount of calories that they burned every day, and half of them were eating it the way we've just been talking about, which is not much breakfast and then loading up a dinner, and the other half spaced it out throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they were fueling exactly what they were burning, so there was no weight gain. But the athletes that ate regularly throughout the day had lower body fats. And so that just tells us it's just a better way to fuel us. And intellectually, we all know that, too. It's just putting into practice, which can be challenging.
Right. Absolutely. And I know you've talked a lot about portion control and how when they bring the big plate of pasta or enchiladas or whatever it is here in Texas, they're going to bring a whole plate and we feel like we have to eat the whole plate. But you have a good strategy about cutting that in half and maybe putting that immediately in a to-go box.
Absolutely. Or even better, my new thing is to have them to tell them to only bring you half and box it up where you don't eat. It's never even on your plate.
You don't have to make a choice, right.
Right. And that way you can take it home and you can enjoy that meal again. You don't have to feel guilty about wasting money.
Sure.
And you're eating a more appropriate portion.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Tell my audience about your services and some of the things, ways they can connect with you and some of the things that you and your team provide.
Sure. So we there are four of us here, four registered dietitians. We provide our clients with a wide variety of health and wellness services. So you can certainly do individual consultations with any of us, which I'll talk about more in a second, where we put together a customized meal plan, again, that has to do with your goals, your lifestyle. And we're really willing to work with whatever. I mean, if I tell someone to cut out something, but I know they're going to eat it, then there's no reason to do it. So we are very good at making, you know, things fit. I may have to tell them to have a little less of it, but I know they're going to do it anyway, so I might as well put it into their plan. We do grocery store tours, which are a lot of fun. Most people go in the grocery store, kind of get their same 20 items and don't really look around. I say that our grocery store tour is like, a consultation is like college, you know, you're learning. And then the grocery store tour is like going to your first job. You like really see it all and can put it into practice. We do home consultations where you go to your home and clean out your pantry a little bit. Really, we would just kind of reorganize it to make it more efficient. And
you don't get in there and throw stuff out.
If they allow me, right. I will. A lot of times what we'll throw away is expired stuff, right, and that kind of thing. People are usually really happy after I come in and do that.
Sure.
And we have a lot of fun doing it. And if there are kids in the family, we get the kids involved in that. Mm-hmm. And that's really interactive for the kids, and they really enjoy it. And we'll grade different foods like you would in school. And so that's really eye-opening to them.
Yeah.
I actually emailed a client yesterday. He asked me about a certain food, if it was okay for a snack, and he's just out of college. And I said, you know, that gets a C+. And I said, I think you're better than a C+. And he wrote me back and he said, I am better than a C+.
C+. Yeah, that's
so
great.
It's an effective way to work with kids and young adults.
My boys don't always trust when I say it, but if I say that you said
absolutely.
It or you say it directly, they believe it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
we also can test your metabolic rate, which is one of the things we really like to do, because what that does is it tells us how many calories each individual burns.
Right.
Instead of it being an average number of someone your height, weight, and age, we know this is how many calories Mike burns. This is how many calories this athlete burns or this, you know, person. And if we know that, then we can really tailor the nutrition plan to the calories that that person needs. So that's a fun thing that we do. And then we do public speaking, we do corporate wellness, we do e-nutrition. So we work with people all over the globe. I have multiple clients that are not in America. And so those are different services we offer. And like I said, we have four dietitians here. So the nice thing is we have different personalities, we have different talents. And so we find who fits best. We have a certified diabetes educator. So for our diabetics and pre-diabetics, we like for them to go see Melissa because she is the most educated in that area. We have a dietitian who actually cooks healthy meals for families as part of one of her services that she does for families or individuals. And so that's fun. And we have another dietitian who really specializes in vegetarian, vegan, FODMAP, anti-inflammatory, those sort of things.
Right.
And then I do a lot of the sports, but I kind of do a lot of everything. And you went through all of the different things that that we touch on. And really almost every aspect of nutrition we handle here.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Anything, final advice you would give to anybody who's out there is wanting to learn more or be more nutritious or have a spirit of wellness and a healthy lifestyle?
Sure. The one recommendation that I always, at the end of every lecture that I give, and so this is perfect timing, I'll give the same thing, is that people feel like with their nutrition, you know, January is a big month for us, as you can imagine, that you just have to overhaul everything and that's to get results in whatever it is, whether it's performance, weight loss, disease, you know, getting better at your disease. But that's really not the truth. Small little changes can have a very big impact, and those are much more manageable. The big overhaul really, you know, only lasts till about mid-February. And so we want to find things that you can do that are small and you can do consistently. Mm-hmm. So I will tell my clients or tell a group I'm presenting to, I want you to pick one thing. Maybe it's drink more water. Maybe it's eat a bigger breakfast. Maybe it's have a snack. Maybe it's cut out fast food or decrease my Cokes or whatever. Pick one goal and work on that goal until you have it down. And that goal, it may take you a week, it may take you a month, it may take you a year to get there. But you eventually will, and you'll get healthier and healthier in the process. And then once you've got that one on autopilot, you pick something else out. And so the example that I use is that if you were to start today and left 3 bites on your plate at lunch and dinner that you normally would eat, and you just say, lunch and dinner, every day I'm going to leave 3 bites. And you do that for a full year. Weekends too. And you don't change anything else. You don't change your exercise. You don't change the food that you eat. Nothing else. You will lose 20 pounds by the end of the year.
Wow.
So that's, and maybe your goal is not weight loss, but that's example of how a small change, if you do it consistently, can have a big result.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're looking for.
That's great. Catherine and her team are amazing. She's worked with me. She's worked with one of my sons. We've done workshops together, and the impact that they're making here is incredible. Your brand is awesome.
Thank you.
And I think it's just, it's different than just being, you know, you're kind of your nutritionist down the street. And you can check out more on her website at www.adviceforeating.com. And we'll post a link on the podcast for that as well. But they can contact you if they want a consultation.
Absolutely.
Or
absolutely.
Have you come in
or even if they have questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so glad we got a chance to do this today.
No, I am too. And the one last thing that I'll say is that we like to make this fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are intimidated about coming and seeing a dietitian and that they're going to be told to eat, you know, chicken and broccoli and baby carrots. And we really like to have a fun time. We like to be creative and we really like to work with people's lifestyles. So.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key. I think fitting into your lifestyle. And I think that Catherine and her team can do a great job for that. You've given some great advice today. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.